to go.
There we go.
She's got a little bit of a delayed response.
Okay. So, Bob, you're doing well?
Yeah, I am. I really am doing well. I'm back to work full time, and usually it's just sometimes when I sit down, I get just a little bit of pain, but otherwise I really don't notice it, so it's a big improvement.
Great.
I sit on a ball. You should try that.
Uh-huh. I've tried that.
Does that help?
Yes and no. Can't do it all day long, you know,
right.
I have to get up and stuff. So what I do is I alternate between I have a workstation where I can stand up, and I alternate between standing and sitting. So that helps a lot. And then Aisha, it sounds like she wasn't probably not going to be able to join us, or at least not right away.
Yeah, it sounds like she has to see the dentist, and hopefully she won't have to have a root canal.
Yeah.
Well, maybe she should if that's what she needs.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I will step in and moderate whatever. I don't know what I'm going to moderate about because I haven't really thought about it. What do we want to talk about first? Do you want to talk about the results or do you want to talk about the readings?
Well, how about the results?
Okay. So what I did was just kind of pull together the examples, and as I was doing it, I realized that we have a lot of examples, and I don't know that we need that many. And also, I did not identify what question it was or which student it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we need to do that. I didn't think we needed to because it's just to illustrate what the theme is about. And I didn't think we needed to identify necessarily which question, maybe for our own trying to figure out which question students struggle with, we might want to do that, but I don't know what you guys think.
This is the first chance that I got to look at the whole list, and I do like the way it's set up. You did a nice job with that. I think that it looks, we could probably look at it in both formats, but to start with, this is good. Excellent.
Thanks.
I too like the format, and also I don't think, we just have such a short presentation time that I'm not sure that it would be necessary to even identify the students, you know? I mean,
yeah.
Of the presentation, but in terms of our own knowledge, our own discussion purposes, then that might be.
Specifically because I'm looking at the first one, that's the theme is incorrect null hypothesis, and it has specific numbers in it, and I think that if we want to break it down a little bit more, we could go back to the question and really pick out where the students were having trouble.
Okay. So it sounds like maybe keep two versions, but for purposes of, let's say, JSM presentation, we don't include some of that detail, just so people can understand what we mean when we say, you know, the first theme, incorrect null hypothesis, what are we talking about? They can see an example of that.
Mm-hmm. Just as a side note, I know that we were talking about, you know, when we presented JSM and whether or not my data, we could use it or not. I did talk with my provost, and they, because I said in my informed consent form that I would only share the data with my group, then I cannot have anything in the whatever we present to JSM from my data. My thought, though, and we can talk about this next month, so we don't have to talk about it now, but my thought is that I would like to administer this again this semester. I have almost 50 students, and I would love to just get that data, either if it's just for myself or if then I could then contribute to the summary again. That way we could still talk about me being with the group and studying in the study, and I just need to change that in my informed consent.
Okay.
And Jennifer, if I can just ask, so it's that, is it that they can't, you can't use any of the data from your students?
Right.
Or you can't present information from an individual student? In other words, I mean, if can the group include your students' data in kind of a summary?
That's what I have to check on. I know specifically that I can't. And now I have to check on the summarized data. I've been trying to get an appointment with that person too, but
okay.
That's so what I have to check on. And if it is the summarized data, then I don't know, you can correct me on this, Bob, but what I was thinking of is if I get new data, then that data can replace my old data, and then we could do summaries from there. But I think the way that I interpreted what she said to me was, in my informed consent, it says specifically, the results from this pilot study will only be shared with group members.
Okay.
And because of that, certainly I can't present that information.
That sounds like you can't.
Nope.
The distinction I was trying to make was between reporting an actual quote from a student versus your students get lumped into, you know, the aggregate data, any summaries you would do, but it sounds like you can't even do that.
Yeah, I can't lump them in there either, and I would like to contribute. I mean, we talked last time about the fact that right now, and correct me if I'm wrong, Georgette and Yuradzu, but right now these quotes that we have here, these are not from my data.
No.
Right? We eliminated my stuff up front. It's at the end of the whole data set. So we said, okay, don't use mine. But then Aisha brought up a good point. She says, well, looking at the themes, really nothing else was different. There wasn't anything else in my data that popped out anyway.
Right.
So other than we would have to change the top part as far as responses.
Right. That shows what percentage of people got it. Correct, you know, for each question, because that did include everybody.
It did include everybody's. Now, my thought is, if we're going to change that anyway, Bob, what do you think about me going ahead and distributing this again and adding my data?
Well, that makes, I think you could do that. And would any of the other members of the group be able to do the same thing? This, I guess, you're either on quarters or semester systems, but would anybody else be able to do that? Could you get even more data this spring? And the reason I'm bringing that up is then there wouldn't be a question about fall versus spring, you know, different differences in students. You would have some students both from fall and spring. And the other thing I want to ask Jennifer, I'm going to guess that the answer to this question is going to be yes, it would be very difficult, but would it be possible to contact these students you had?
No, because they weren't identified unless they chose to be identified.
For my classes, I can contact former students, you know, from a previous class, because I can go to our banner system or even use Blackboard, because I, you know, we use Blackboard even if it's not an online course, and I can just send a group email to say, you know, and I've done it before after the fact, to just say, to ask a question, whatever it is. So if you're going to ask, is it okay if I use your data without identifying you, but, you know, in aggregate form. Is that what you were trying to get at, Bob?
Yeah, I was wondering.
If I did, there would have to be 100% response rate, right?
That's what it sounds like, since you can't identify.
Oh, right, because then you can tell which ones have said yes.
There
had to be 100% response rate, and they'd all have to say yes. You can
right.
Which I don't think, I don't think they have a problem with. And I could, we have Angel that we use, and I could go back and do that through the system, but they aren't subscribed to that course anymore.
Yeah.
So they're done after the semester, so.
Okay.
Jennifer, what if you, I mean, you said you had some names, right? Some identities?
Maybe two or three.
Oh, just two or three.
Yeah. They chose not to be identified.
Because you had 17 students, so that's really not enough, I guess, two or three. So I might be able to do another step.
Hello?
Oh, Aisha.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm okay. Sorry I'm late. I just got back from the dentist. So.
Are you okay?
I'm okay. I ended up just getting a filling.
Oh.
So I didn't have to get a root canal. I guess my filling had chipped.
Oh.
And I didn't know.
So are you all drugged up?
No,
good.
Just,
well, we should let Aisha make all the decisions.
Yeah. We are recording them.
You can't hold me to any decisions that are made today on whatsoever. So I'm just listening to try to catch up. Where are we?
We were just talking about the results of the pilot study.
Okay.
And I think I would be able to administer, because we're just starting our quarter this week, so I should be able to administer to my new class. I have a group of 20 coming in. I can do that again.
But then, Bob, would we have to redo everything? Like right now we have our themes and our examples within our themes. Would we have to do that again, or would we add to?
Well, I think you would add to.
Okay.
I think you'd be looking to see. I mean, what would be nice about collecting more data is when you get more data, you can. It's almost like a
verification
model testing thing. And so you're going to see, do these themes make sense, you know, with the new data, or is there another theme or two that you need to include, or does the new data make you think about just a slightly different way of looking at the themes? You know, you've got all that potential stuff, which is cool. So I think there's all kind of benefits to doing it, to collecting more data.
Okay.
I don't have a section this semester, but I will have a section for summer that I can administer into, and next semester I'll be back into regular rotation. We're talking about administering it again. I guess I could also try to get some of just administer it to some other folks, but I prefer to do my own section since my sections are all under IRB for the next few years, as opposed to trying to get someone else's section, because I think I may have to go through IRB again for that.
Is the summer session, first session, June?
Actually, it is this session, and it goes until, I guess, June 30th or something, the very end of June.
Okay, well, so that's an option for us.
Yeah.
I don't want to make everyone do more work, but my first thought, though, was that it would be a better time to get data, and because I misinterpreted the first one, I feel the need to correct it, but I don't want it to have to reflect on everyone else too.
I thought we were, and you know, correct me, I thought that we were just going to basically continue to look at the instrument, see if it's doing what we wanted to do, and then I thought we had talked about actually redoing it. Actually administering it, I suppose, because it's not just a pilot, administering the actual instrument in the fall. Did we talk about that?
We did, but at the beginning of today, Aisha, what we talked about is the fact that I can't use any of my data, not even summarized. So we have a couple of options, and that's what we were discussing. Do we want to just eliminate the 17 of my data, not even summarize that at all, which is a possibility, but then we'd have to go back into the summary of the pilot results and go back to the questions and eliminate the 17 of my questions even in the summary data. I think right now we've all not included my data anyway in the themes.
Right.
So then I brought up the question with Bob the thought that maybe because I have almost 50 students now, could I take that data, could I administer this to my spring students? And then Bob asked, well, could we all do that to get so that we don't have fall versus spring as a factor?
Or confound that,
right,
Jennifer's institution is the only spring data and everybody else's institutions are fall.
Oh, I thought Nairatsu, didn't you get data this semester?
I did. I got it at the beginning of this semester because, like, my students were not cooperative, so I had to go into somebody else's class.
And I actually think that in the light of it being a pilot, that I don't know that that would matter. I mean, I know it does as far as confounding, and it's different, but we did talk last time, Bob, about let's look at what we're finding now and then go with our in the fall.
And that makes sense to me, and I think you would have, you know, you're arguing it's not your final study, it's your pilot,
right,
to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Jennifer, if you were the only one to get data towards the end of your semester or whenever you're collecting it, I mean, that would be fine. I was just bringing up, more data is usually good.
Right.
And like I say, you know, you can use it to kind of look at or any anomalies is to kind of verify the model. But certainly if people don't have time or resources, I mean, that's another issue.
Well, it sounds like Aisha won't be able to do it. So maybe the three of us that can, we can do that and kind of refine. I think it would help us refine our themes. You know, if the same ones come up, then we can be more confident as we do the actual study that these are the themes that come up. But if something, you know, different comes up, it just gives us a clearer picture of what we should be looking at. So, you know, Aisha, because you don't have a course this quarter, don't feel like
make
it happen.
In my mind, it's just a pilot.
Right.
It's just something to get preliminary data.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be happy to do it just because the last time I did it, it wasn't my class. And I'll just like to do it with my class too.
So
I'll do it this quarter and kind of see what comes up. Hopefully it won't be. Well, I don't know if that's, I should say hopefully. For the sake of not having to do extra work, hopefully it won't be too different. But for the sake of getting a better insight, maybe it's good that if we get something a little bit different.
Okay. Sounds good.
So I guess the responses that we have there, we can use them for ourselves, and we can scream and go, "Ikes!" How many people got the questions incorrect? But we can't use it as far as presenting it to the larger group. I can relook at them and remove the 17, so we can just see of the ones that are left. I can't do math, so. 87 minus 17.
70.
Okay.
70.
Of the 70, we can see what percentage got it correct and so on. So I can redo that table without Jennifer's data in there.
Okay. Thank you.
I have a note saying that preliminary slides for JSM are due to Bob sometime soon, right? The 11th of May.
Yeah, I think that's when ASA will ask me, the JSM organizer will ask me if all the participants have a draft. Okay. But you know, that's real loose as to what that means.
Okay.
I'm serious, just from past things. So if every group sends me a PowerPoint file that has a title slide.
And then kind of an outline of what's going to be in there.
Yeah. Then that's all that needs to be in place. But I think you guys are going to, you know, you guys are already moving along pretty well here. I interrupted, I think, Aisha. Did you have a question there?
My concern was simply in terms of analyzing this new set of data in a timely manner.
So it doesn't have to be finalized by that May 11th or May 15th date.
Okay.
Okay.
It's just to show each group, each presenter has to show that they actually have something going in progress.
Okay. Is the Bob, is the bigger piece to what we're presenting at JSM the literature review?
You know, I think it'll depend on each group. And so you guys are going to have some data, and you're already doing some summarizing of it. You're going to have like 20 minutes, something like that, to present, 15 or 20 minutes. So I think you need to determine what's the more salient and important information that you want to present to the audience. And I think your themes and what students are doing on these items, I think that's pretty interesting. So you want some background, you know, 5 or so minutes of background, then you probably want to have the rest of your time to present results and some discussion and then finish up with where you're going next.
Well, there's an outline.
I'm just thinking the same thing, background, discussion, where we're going.
Yep.
Well, where we're going is we're planning to do that in the fall, right? We're trying to do the full.
Yeah. And as you're analyzing the data, as you're looking at things, you know, if there's questions that come up that you would like to address and there's some changes you want to make. I mean, there's all kinds of things you could be saying with what's going to happen in the future.
I had one note. When I was going through my themes, I had question five, and Nirazu, I had sent this to you kind of at the top in a note, just kind of to remind myself also. Let me just see if I can find it. The question itself had 1,000. The mean was 1,000. And then the question talked about the p-value of being 0.048. And then its interpretation was 48 in 1,000. But the students were confusing the 1,000 of that was the mean with the 48 in 1,000. And I didn't know if that question was meant to do that or not. I didn't know what the history of that question was or if you guys had any other thoughts of it, if you had even noticed it. I didn't notice it until I started analyzing the responses, and that seemed to be where the confusion was with the 1,000.
Do you have examples of what the students said that led you to believe that they were missing up in the...
Yes. Let me just... I'm just trying to go into my email and find it.
I've got it open.
I just found it. I wrote as a note, a possible source of trouble on this question is that the mean number of minutes studied is 1,000, and then the probability is stated as 48 out of 1,000. If that was a different number, would students have focused on the p-value rather than the duplication of the number 1,000, or was the question designed that way? And here's an example of what they said. Using 1,000 minutes to say that 48 in 1,000 is inaccurate because you didn't test 1,000 students. Should be the total time average that the 81 students studied, not 1,000. And that's actually different than the mean part. But
so I'm not hearing anything that the I'm not hearing her confusing the mean of 1,000 or whoever this person is, the student confusing the mean of 1,000 minutes with 48 out of 1,000.
That's right.
No, they're
saying
the 81 students versus the 1,000.
Right. And so they're misunderstanding what the probability represents. It doesn't represent something about the 81 students.
Right.
Another person said 96.2% study more than 1,000 minutes, indicating that the probability is 48 in 1,000.
So, again, that doesn't sound like they're
mm-hmm.
confusing a count of 1,000 with the mean of 1,000 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
One student did say p-value and the mean numbers of minutes cannot be compared, which, you know, I mean, that's true. But, I mean, that doesn't – it just looks like a reasoning. I mean, the rest of their reasoning is okay.
Okay. It's just something that I came across. I didn't know if anyone else had noticed that.
So in that one that Georgette just read, Georgette, are you thinking the person might have confused the 1,000 in the...
No, they followed up with p-value needs to be compared to the alpha level in order to determine whether or not the null is true, which is actually incorrect. So they weren't confusing that. They weren't saying...
Well, no, but I mean, do you think... So the first thing that you said, in the statement that says... the long-run probability is 48 in 1,000. Do you think that they were commenting, do you think they were thinking about the 1,000 represented 1,000 minutes, and you can't relate the 48 to the 1,000 minutes?
That's what they're saying, yeah.
So that's along the lines of what Jennifer first brought up.
If anyone's looking at the spreadsheet of our responses, it's the second student. I don't know if you have it in front of you.
Student D2. You said it was D2?
Mm-hmm. It's the second student.
Yeah, the p-value and the mean number of minutes studied cannot be compared.
So that,
yeah, so this person seems to understand that the p-value is, you know, does not relate to the number of participants.
Yeah, they're saying that, oh, well, they said it was false, so they have it wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But what they're, but that, just that statement, the p-value and the mean number of minutes, that's sounding like they, you, that they might be saying, oh, they thought 48 out of 1,000. The 1,000 was referring to the mean of 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just wondering if you change the minutes to 962, for example.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. That's what I was thinking. But then, after I was thinking about it, I said, well, maybe that was the point of the question, is that can they decipher between the two? Or is that just tricky? I thought it was kind of tricky.
It would be tricky to a student who didn't really know what they were doing, I think. You know, like they're expecting that every number, I have some students that mechanically solve problems that every number they see has to go somewhere, even
right.
If it's, you know, a red herring, I guess.
But
do we want to change the instrument, though? I mean,
and that was my next question. I think we can't, right?
Yeah, I'm uncomfortable with that. But I don't know if just changing the amount of time, you know, constitutes changing the instrument. I mean, you know, the item.
Yeah.
Like if we just change it from 1,000 to some other number, is that really changing the item?
Yeah, because it will. If the intention of the original item was to make sure they knew that the mean had nothing to do with
the p-value.
I thought the intention of the original problem was to see whether or not they can look at the different representations of a probability,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to going all the way back to the mean at all. Again, because this is just a definition problem, right? It's just
mm-hmm.
a matter of looking to see if they fundamentally understand the different representations for this p-value probability.
And I guess when I started to analyze their responses and look at, that was one source, that 1,000 seemed to be, you know, over and over again, I saw that the students were looking at.
Do you have other examples of it?
Not of the mean, but of the 81 students. They were referring to the 81 students and the 1,000 a couple times.
So it sounds like they're trying to, they're looking at the 81 out of 1,000 as somehow should relate to what the p-value is. And since 81 out of 1,000 was not 0.048, you know, they got confused.
Yeah, and again, like Bob had said, that doesn't have to do with the mean being 1,000.
Right, that has to do with their reasoning about it.
About the people, yeah.
Right, and that's one of the themes that we already had, right? Because if you remember, we talked
right.
about yep. incorrect interpretation of the probability or p-value, or cases where the p-value would being related to individuals in the population. That's one of the bullets that I had, and I think that's what. We decided last time to boil down I'm just trying to click between. I think what, you know, we have it here, incorrect interpretation of the probability p-value. And this goes with, yeah, what I said, relating p-value to individuals and so forth.
Can I jump in here?
Mm-hmm.
So in a long line, I think, along the lines of what you guys are discussing here, I just kind of did a scan of the whole column,
mm-hmm.
And I certainly didn't read everything word for word,
mm-hmm.
but what's striking me is, given the way the question's set up now,
mm-hmm.
when students refer to 1,000 in their reasoning,
mm-hmm.
there's a few places where I think you can't tell, are they saying the mean of 1,000 minutes, or are they talking about this 48 and 1,000? It's unclear.
Yeah.
What they're saying about 1,000, just for a couple students, it seems to me if you changed the 1,000 minutes to some other number of minutes, high number of minutes, but something else other than 1,000, then when they're mentioning 1,000 in their reasoning, you'd have a little clearer idea of how they're treating that number. There's just a couple students where they go, like that one that went 48-1,000 doesn't make sense. You only had 81 students. That gives you some understanding of their illogical reasoning.
Yeah,
I guess then it would be a good thing for us, those of us who can, to do it again this quarter and change that number from 1,000 and see how that changes the reasoning. You know, if we still get the same kind of reasoning, then maybe we can say, well, it's more their understanding than the number itself.
Yeah.
But if that really changes, then maybe we can consider changing that number for the final study.
Yeah, so this would be an opportunity to test that out.
Right.
So 962, I think someone threw that number out a few minutes ago.
I think I did.
Okay.
Does that sound good to everybody?
I like it.
Well, let's see, does that relate, let's see, what's 1,000 minus 48?
No.
Oh.
That's a good question.
Oh. 952.
Because we don't want it to be a number that can be derived from those, because we don't, you know.
Is it 952? Yeah,
952.
So why don't you do 967 or, you know, something like that?
Yeah.
967? 967.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking at one, and I don't know if we had mentioned this before, but just to kind of sum that up, it says, using 1,000 minutes to say that 48 and 1,000 is inaccurate because you didn't test 1,000 students. So it's taking all three of them, the students, the minutes, the p-value.
Just all the numbers, and just trying to make, you know, can I get this number out of everything that I have?
Yeah, but but that student, D21, seems to be not confusing 1,000 minutes with a count of 1,000, for example.
Mm-hmm.
It looks to me like they understand 1,000 minutes is the mean, and 48 and 1,000 means you didn't test 1,000 students, so that's what it sounds like. They've got they're understanding what the 1,000 represents correctly.
So on the summary that we have on that table, do we want to keep all the examples, or do we want to pick a few that are a good illustration, relatively speaking, and just use those? I mean, a good illustration of the themes. Because it just seems like we have a lot of examples for each theme.
Well, I'm not sure that given that this is going to be administered again. I mean,
so we can keep it that way. If, you know, I was just wondering about that.
Maybe whatever we finally decide to present, that would be a good process to have then, and just leave this, since we're not really going to use this.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So this is not going to be used, is what I'm hearing.
I thought we were going to add to it.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because the themes don't include Jennifer's data, so we can present these. It's just a table at the top that has how many people got each question correct and how many got it incorrect. That table we cannot use until I change it.
Could we just administer the second round of the pilot study and then, go through the process again of finding, examples of incorrect reasoning, and then see if that changes the table at all, and then make a decision?
Oh, yeah, we could do that.
Yeah. Just see what else we get.
Okay.
I wanted to mention that the article Haller and Krauss, that I read something very similar to it. It's in Blackboard. It was in the week of 11/20, it was actually Krauss-Wassner in the same year that referred to the same study. It was a much shorter article. So, anyway, I just want to put it out there.
Georgette was the same authors?
Krauss and Wassner. The one we read this week was Haller and Krauss.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Krauss and Wassner, same year, same study was discussed. The one with the German psychology students and professors.
Oh, okay.
You know, I knew that. I was looking at it saying, I know we've read this before. We've read something like this.
That's what I was thinking, too.
It's all kind of meshing together.
So if you guys want to read that article, because I read it and presented the summary, but if you want to read it yourself, it's located in the week 1120.
Is that the one from ICOT 6? 2002?
Yep. Let's check on that.
Yep. I have it right in front of me yet.
Okay.
Yeah, it's only about 4 pages.
Okay.
And is there additional information in the other, in that article that you're suggesting, beyond what you gave us in the summary?
Actually, no. This one, I think, is more thorough. I mean, there's a lot more information in it. I think Jennifer mentioned the other one was 4 pages.
So you're saying the paper that we read is more in-depth?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yep. I'm looking at it right now. It has the same table, the same bar chart, and it has, I guess it's more of a summary of what we read this week.
Okay.
So maybe you don't need to read it after all.
Well, actually, that one, it says the present, this is the Krauss and Wassner, the shorter one says, the present contribution is based on Krauss and Wassner 2001 and Haller and Krauss in press.
Okay.
I always struggle with reading these articles because I'm constantly thinking about my classes and kind of feel like, man, I need to, you know, a redo to call back some students. did I really go in depth about that? Did they live with this misconception when I was reading some of those things? Because I don't really go into probability in any depth at all. And they're talking a lot about basing an understanding of the p-value and, you know, hypothesis testing on conditional probability. And I wondered how many students come into my classroom with that knowledge, or should I go more in-depth talking about that? So, you know, I feel like I'm not focused on what I should be focused on when I'm reading them because I'm thinking of my students.
I'm a little curious myself. I have students that have taken, you know, the AAP course, and they just didn't get a score high enough to get credit, so they have to take the class. And I'm wondering what they learned. You know, what are they? What preconceived notions they're actually bringing to class? But I guess if we do a study at the beginning of the semester and then at the end, we'd be able to measure that, right?
Yeah, hopefully. And then I was also thinking, okay, what are some key things, if I was to write a list of when you leave this class, you should have a good understanding of these concepts, what would they be? You know, just so I'd make sure that at least they get that handful of concepts.
There's a list somewhere on CauseWeb.
It's the top 10.
The top 10?
Mm-hmm.
Was it top 10? There's... I don't remember. Not the top 10. We read that article about the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
That was Rossman and Chance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Right.
And I think Joan Garfield wrote an article or worked on I don't remember what it was. Was it? Do you remember, Bob? Is it an instrument or it's like a?
And what is this respected to?
A test of things students should know leaving an intro course. I'm going to see if I can find it on CauseWeb.
Yeah, I'm not sure. That's not ringing any bells. I mean, that's kind of in the GAZE document.
Yeah, that's what I meant. GAZE.
Yeah, it's in the GAZE document.
Okay.
we're doing probability right now, and my students are struggling terribly with it. And I always feel like I tell them, okay, this is, you know, really, you really need the understanding of probability as a foundation. And I hear it in my head. I hear myself saying, you know, students typically struggle with this, and but yet we continue to teach. I think that I teach too much probability, and I think that maybe I need to move away from that, but they struggle so with that probability.
So I guess that's kind of one of the purposes of what we are doing, to try and figure out, you know, what are they struggling with, and how can we help them so they don't struggle so much with it. You know, like ultimately, what are some instructional practices that we can put in place to help students do better?
Mm-hmm. I think in a lot of the cases in probability, they need more time with it. They need more practice with the type of question, with the logic. It's just different to them, and every question kind of, it seems a little different to them, and they need to continue to practice those questions. And in a 14-week semester, they just don't have that much time to practice it. So where's the cutoff? You know, how much is enough for them to go on, or do you not want to just teach them that? Do you? And I know this is a constant struggle in this course, is how much of the probability do we teach? But I really feel like those probability concepts are really important. I thought the article that Aisha had sent to us, the Soto's article, it really gave a lot of validation to our pilot.
Yeah, it did. When they're talking about some of the misconceptions about the null hypothesis and the alternative hypothesis, and how that can lead to, how that leads to incorrect interpretation of the results, you know, that's one of the themes that we found with our results. So that kind of felt like, okay. I mean, in an odd way, it was affirming, but not good. That this is, you know, they have this misconception of something so basic. That, you know, at least I don't, it just made me think I probably need to really focus more on it and not assume that they, you know, it's so basic they got it.
So where are we going now? I mean, what's the plan? Where are we heading?
You mean with the call or with the
just
project?
In general,
or?
With the project. Because it sounds like you guys are going to re-administer the pilot.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be later this semester, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what do we do? I mean, are we going to be working on a literature review? Are we going to start writing a paper? What are we doing while we wait? Because I know that we've been reading a lot. But at what point do we say, okay, let's start compiling what we have in some sort of, you know, big document?
The concept map webinar, is that next week or the week after?
Mm-hmm. That's next week,
mm-hmm.
on the 6th.
Mm-hmm.
I can't make that because it's during my class, but I'm going to, of course, listen to it afterwards. Maybe we could all start working on a concept map once we do the webinar and then come together.
In the collaborative work I've done, which is all the work I've done, what seems to be more effective, at least with the people I work with, is if somebody takes on one part of the project and says, I'll draft that.
Mm-hmm.
And then that gives everybody something to respond to.
Mm-hmm.
But always with the understanding that whatever the person comes up with, you're not expecting it to be anywhere near final finished product. It's just that they take an initial stab. There's pros and cons to that. One of the pros is you don't have everybody doing, you know, trying to do the same thing and doing it in different ways. It kind of gives you a foundation for everybody to work from. And then you can always, and then everybody can always come, can look, and it gives you something to respond to or react to. And if there are better ideas, it helps them oftentimes come out. That. So it's just a suggestion.
But would you suggest, Bob, at this point, that we do move into, putting together everything that we've read into some form of literature review?
I think that sounds like a good idea, and that you guys do have amassed enough. That it would be good to start doing that I think what you were suggesting, Aisha, one thing was you can see what you've got.
That's
you can see, it might let you see what you're missing or, where you have questions.
Mm-hmm.
You can see how it holds together or doesn't,
mm-hmm.
what it's leading to or isn't.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
So, Bob, you were saying at JSM we would start with maybe a 5-minute background, and that's where this would come in?
I was actually thinking of the literature review on a larger scale, as in terms of by the end of this project, or at least, the preliminary end of this project, we at least have a literature review completed that could be publishable.
Yeah, I think having some pilot data makes a literature review probably even more publishable.
Right.
Because you've tried out what you've learned from the literature review, and here's what you have so far. But regardless of when you would try to publish anything, a good, strong, thorough literature review is important.
Right.
And so I think that's a good reason to do it. And then it would set you up for wrestling with how you're going to distill what you're looking at into 5 minutes of your talk, for example. Or you guys might decide that is our talk. Our talk's really going to be everything from the literature review. But given that you already have some interesting results, I hope that they get worked into the presentation also.
Mm-hmm. The presentation in August, is that also a contributed paper, though? Is that a paper as well?
No.
It's,
I think mm-hmm, Bob had
it doesn't answer. Have to be.
Oh, okay. So it's the presentation and that's it. It's not a written literature review. And I that's what I was thinking. We had to have a literature review done for JSM.
Got it. No, you just have to have your presentation ready.
Phew.
And then, then after the fact, so the rules are different. I'm sure I won't have them down 100%, but now that we've turned it into separate papers being presented, or if you want to think of it that way,
mm-hmm.
Each group could decide whether they want to or not have a paper published with the proceedings. But it's not peer-reviewed. It's the proceedings of a conference, and it's not peer-reviewed. And there's something like a 5 or 6-page limit, or it might be a 3 or 4-page limit. You're not writing a real. So it's really just kind of a documentation. I've only done it once. Excuse me, I should not say never. I did it once for a panel session. And for a panel session, you only write one paper for the whole panel. So there are like 6 of us. We each got like 1/2 page to relate what it was we covered, in our presentation. So that wasn't too onerous, but I'd rather work towards a 15-20-page document to send off for publication than a
mm-hmm.
couple-page
okay.
thing for a proceed. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Got it.
So, I'm jumping into a role I don't have. I'll shut up now.
Is it my role to be moderator? I'm not even sorry. I'm kind of out of it.
No, it's okay.
That's
I mean,
okay.
Niavatso stepped up because
okay.
because you weren't there,
sorry.
And then it doesn't sound like you're feeling that well.
And Aisha's asking very good questions for being out of it. So
yeah,
maybe you should be out of it more.
Ha!
Are you implying I don't normally ask questions, Mom? I hope not.
We've got 8 minutes, so maybe we should, before we carry on whatever else we're going to talk about, set a date and
okay.
for our next meeting.
Okay.
End of April?
Well, why don't we make it earlier in April?
Like
so
mid-April,
after
the webinar.
Meeting, right, we can
yeah.
we could talk about what to do. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, what day works for people?
Was Monday okay for everyone? Like, say we could meet Monday 4/12. That would give me time to watch the webinar for it to get posted, and or not watch it, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
That would give me a few days to wait for it to get posted and then, you know, be able to spend some time with it. And maybe people could rewatch it if they felt like they needed to.
And you will be watching it. She'll have slides.
Oh, okay.
Along with audio, and yeah, it'll be kind of a half-hour thing.
Okay. That time works for me.
Works for me, too.
2 o'clock on the 12th?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
2 Eastern, okay.
What are our roles?
Okay. Let's see.
I'm so glad someone keeps up.
Georgette, you're the organizer.
Okay.
Jennifer, moderator. Aisha is the synthesizer, and I'm the recorder.
Okay.
So between now and then...
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Jennifer.
So I was just going to say, between now and then, webinar, and maybe get some ideas together of how to set up the literature review, or what... my question for the literature review to the group is, do we go back to where we started in August, July, August, whenever we started last summer, and use everything, or do we start at the point to which we formulated our research question and take the things that only pertain to our research question?
You only think to think that, I would think that you would only use the things that pertain specifically to your research question.
Okay.
That's what I would think. Bob?
Yeah.
And but just keep yourselves open, so start that way,
mm-hmm.
and then see if that satisfies everybody or if, you know, some other ideas come in. But, you know, certainly don't – I would advise you not to go in with the idea that you need to include everything you've read.
Right.
You know, look at – just like you're doing with your data, look at the themes that are emerging and what do you need to tell a story with those themes that are emerging from the literature.
Yeah, I'm imagining that by doing like the concept map and really looking at our literature review, we can see where we still need further reading and where we've done, what areas we've covered to show us what holes we still have to fill in our literature review with regards to our question.
Right. Good.
Well, I think you guys have made a lot of progress, and this is really shaping up. And then Aisha's kind of pushing for get a product going.
I don't need a product in terms of it's not like something I need for tenure or whatever, because I go up into 4 and I have my papers. But just in terms of having something tangible.
Yeah. I think it keeps your momentum going.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I was hearing, and I think that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, Nairad, I think we had decided we were not going to go ahead and cut down the actual groups of examples that we had, but we can send you the summary data with our Jennifer's numbers so that you can update that chart at the very top of your sheet.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So I guess we can do that between now and our next meeting, you guys?
Okay.
Bob, I have a question for you about all 12 of us. So I'm thinking of JSM and doing a survey for the presentation for the whole group.
Okay.
And I would like to be able to send everybody an email to answer some questions for me in that regard. And... could you send me an email list?
Yes, I could. Yes, I can do that. Yeah, I think the way I got the group set up, it doesn't show everybody's email when I do a group thing.
Right.
That's just kind of a default I do. So I will, I'll just send you a email and I'll put all the emails into the body of it. Is that good enough?
That's great.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. And Narazu?
Uh-huh.
Are you going to work with, I can't remember the There was another one of the cluster members who was interested in this part of it.
Oh, I haven't heard from anybody.
You haven't? Okay.
No.
Okay. And I probably won't be able to reconstruct that, but if I can, I might send you this person's name or ask them if they're interested. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Jennifer, do you know if you will be attending?
Well, at this point, I plan on it. I've got everything in order, so I should be there.
Okay.
I'm waiting for the program to come out tomorrow to make travel plans and
okay.
put everything in. But it, on this end at my institution, yes, I'm able to.
Okay, so they weren't any stress about you not physically
No, didn't. They consider us as a group presenting.
Okay.
So, yeah, they're very supportive.
Oh, great.
Okay.
Yeah, the program either comes out tomorrow or Wednesday.
I think it's Wednesday.
I think it's the 31st, the last day of the month.
Wednesday, yep, Wednesday.
Okay. Yeah, I've been waiting for that, too.
Okay.
All right, well, Aisha, I hope you feel better.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And thanks for understanding me being late and kind of being out of it today. So thanks for whoever took on my role. I really appreciate it. And
well,
we can swap it if you want us to swap roles or whatever it may be. So that should be fine. Okay. So we'll
okay.
talk, I guess, on... I don't know.
April 12th.
April 12th.
Okay.
Bob, keep getting better.
Yeah.
Will do.
I've been
a very compliant patient.
Good.
And Aisha should do the same, whatever they told her not to do.
like talk a lot. But
Well, that's going to be a challenge.
Exactly. It should be fine.
Do you have to watch what you eat or, you know?
I do.
Yeah,
what I eat and so forth. So, and soup. But
my daughter had her wisdom teeth taken out 2 weeks ago during... Their college spring break, and
mm-hmm.
so she had a deal for a week with, you know, whatever happens with that.
Yeah.
Wonderful stuff. So
that's fun.
It'll come around for you, I'm sure, pretty quick here.
Let's see. Okay. Well, thank you guys all. All
thank
right.
Thank you. I have one quick question.
Uh-huh.
Do I contact Jean Scott to retrieve the recording?
Yeah, I usually just send her an email right after and say, okay, we just finished the recording.
Okay.
Where is it? And she sends me the link.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks.
Alrighty.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you. Please stand by.